Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Daily Podcast. Every weekday, I bring you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History Syndicated Newspaper column. For full details of that column, check it out at offbeatoregon.com. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of the rowdy but golden past of the almost ghost town of Granite. Granite, not too many years ago, maybe 20 or 30, was the smallest incorporated city in the state. Population, 1. It's grown at least 2,800% since, but it's nothing compared to what it was once in its gold mining heyday. This story was first published on May 5th, 2009. Gonna read it to you now. Here we go. When the mayors of incorporated cities start talking about growth, it's hard to beat the story of Steve Smith, mayor of the historic mining town of Granite, Oregon. Granite's population has shot up 2,800% since 1970. Well, in 1970, Granite's population was 1. The population's name was Odie Ford. The mayor's name was Odie Ford. The city council president's name, well, you get the idea. Ford liked to joke that Granite had a Republican administration, Republican electorate, Republican mayor, Republican everything, since he happened to be a Republican. But if Granite's founder could have heard that back when the town was new, he likely would have run down Main Street shooting into the air. The town's founder was prospector Jack Long, and he founded the town because his mule got stuck in the mud while packing a big load of whiskey on July 4th, 1862. You know, all my sources tell me that's a true statement, but I'm having a hard time believing it. I don't think you could make something up that was more colorful and old westy and mining towny than that. But there it is, and that's what it says happened. The stuck-in-the-mud thing needs a little bit of clarification, though. When Long pulled the mule out of the mud, he found gold dust mixed with the mud on its feet. Apparently, it kind of sparkled a little bit. Well, whether you buy that explanation or not, what's not open for interpretation is what happened next, which is that he immediately staked a mining claim there, and within a week, he had company. A lot of company. And the town sprang up in surprisingly, shockingly short order. Well, Long wanted to name this town Independence because it was founded on July 4th, or so he says. It's not clear why this date was so special to Long, though, because the Civil War was on, and like everybody else in the town, he was a Southern Democrat. In fact, there's a story about that, passed on in a 1939 WPA Oregon Folklore Studies interview with old-time Granite resident Mrs. Neil Niven. In 1864, Long learned from the government records that someone in his town had voted for Abraham Lincoln. Suitably fortified with liquor, he stormed through town with a pistol and a knife, accosting everyone he saw. "Did you dare vote for Abraham Lincoln?" Everyone answered no until a man riding by on a horse reined in. "I dared vote for Lincoln. What are you going to do about it?" Dead silence fell. A crowd started to gather. Finally, Long broke the silence. "Well, that makes one. Where's another?"
"I thought you were going to shoot the first black Republican you met, Jack,"
yelled someone from the crowd.
"Well," said Long, "you can't shoot a man on his horse."
Like a lot of old mining towns in the Blue Mountains, Granite was a rough, tough, hard-drinking, hard-fisted kind of place. At its peak, it boasted nearly 5,000 residents, almost all male, almost all miners. Roughly 3,000 of the residents were Chinese. The Chinese would buy played-out mines and work the tailings over because they had more skill and patience than the European and American miners, so they'd get quite a bit of color out of what the Westerners thought was worthless slag. Many a miner, chortling over the money a Chinese man had paid him for a worthless slag heap, later found out that the joke was on him. When one of the miners would hit a big strike, he sometimes would treat the whole town to a big drunken party. Quote,
"I remember one time a miner had just made a big strike," Niven said in her 1939 interview. "When he brought his bag of gold dust in, he walked up to the saloon, and while standing at the door, he threw his bag of dust across the room, and it lit on the bar, breaking the bag and making a big dent in the bar. He yelled, 'Come on, you mud sluckers, the drink is on me!' It was one of the wildest, wooliest nights Granite ever had."
The party had cooled off quite a bit by World War II, but in 1942 the War Labor Act outlawed gold mining and the town screeched to a demographic stop. The men went off to war or to some home front effort elsewhere, possibly in the Portland shipyards. After the war was over, few, if any, came back. Today, though, Granite is growing. It's a gorgeous mountain town, little more than 4,000 feet above sea level. Vacationers and elk hunters from elsewhere in the state come see it and fall in love with it.
During the summer, hundreds of people crowd the town, but winters are harsh and amenities are few. Year-round residents are still just 28, as of the time of this writing, which was 2009, as I said. And it's no longer the smallest incorporated city in Oregon. That honor now goes to nearby Greenhorn, whose population is zero. No word on whether the administration of Greenhorn is Republican or Democrat. Well, that's it for today. If you're listening for the first time and would like some more info about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get it all at our central website at offbeatoregon.com. The complete list of about 200 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed in case you'd like to join the conversation. The website's also where you'll find full citations for sources of this story, which include works by Norman Weiss and William Haight. Also, a phone call to Mayor Steve Smith. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis? Drop me a line. Let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. Attribution share alike. For details, see offbeatoregons.com/cc. That's it for today. Tomorrow starts a 4-week series. It's the Chronicles of Rajneeshpuram. This is a series that I wrote in 2010, mostly in May of 2010, dealing with Oregon's most famous ashram. The first one, which we're going to have tomorrow, was the pre-Oregon backstory of the man who would go on to become one of the most influential thinkers in the New Age movement and one of the most reviled figures of Oregon history. That would be the one and only Chandra Mohan Jain, a.k.a. Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. Look for that tomorrow after about 6 a.m. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff, will ya? Bye now.